그래서 내가 가래 집에는 신내 팬비치도 이 섬제는 어디 자와 누야다 아니 데니게다 마 니리급이 이네 안에 섬마 섬바 잠바다 데니게 섬다시 니후야기 누스네네 아니 메콘라 개와 자와 가래 집에는 기유 출로 두고래 아니 데니게 섬마 섬보 섬다시 니후베네데 니이네 앞게 개와 차고래 된다 응 저기 데니 털이야
Good morning. And last night we looked at a verse which encouraged us to engage in the accumulation of virtue all day and at night. And the reasons presented were because we all want to experience happiness, and the causes for happiness is virtue. So therefore, to experience happiness repeatedly, we need to continuously accumulate the causes for happiness. And for an activity to lead to the accumulation of the causes of happiness, it depends on the motivation being virtuous. So therefore, we were again encouraged to establish a motivation in the morning that is virtuous. In particular, a motivation that today I will not harm others. And in fact, whenever I have the opportunity, I will go further than that and I'll benefit others. And amongst the various ways that I can be of benefit to others, I will strive to lead others to full and complete enlightenment, a state completely separated from suffering and a state where the greatest form of happiness is experienced. So this kind of virtuous motivation should be generated in the morning, and we should remind ourselves or recall such a motivation throughout the day. And likewise, at night, when we come to lie down, then relying again on the mind of mindfulness or recollection, we should call to mind this virtuous motivation that we set and go to sleep at night with our mind turned in the direction of virtue. So that was the verse that we looked at last night. Now we come now to the next verse, which is on the four immeasurables. So here we'll look at what the four immeasurables are, how to meditate on them, and the result of this meditation. That was verse 40. Constantly and perfectly reflect on love, compassion, joy, impartiality. And should you attain the highest state, and should you not attain the highest state, at least you will find bliss in Brahma's world. The four immeasurables are explicitly mentioned in our second line. Love, the immeasurable love, immeasurable compassion, immeasurable joy, and immeasurable impartiality or equanimity.
Jambat Yes, Kevin, Jim, Monte, Jiguaro, that new dealer, that Jamba Simila, the Simjan, Tamjis, say, Mine Bache, and Simjan Simeba, Bob Meba, some Simeba, some Dachi, Simjan Simeba, Miche, Dinig Simjan Simeba, the year, and then Dewa, the Den, some big, some Moti, and Jamba Simesigoro.
In this verse, we're talking about the four immeasurables. So the first two we have listed are immeasurable love and immeasurable compassion. And other times you would have heard about great love and great compassion. So what is the difference between immeasurable love and great love and immeasurable compassion and great compassion? Well, the difference is actually quite slight. So first of all, let's talk about immeasurable love. So the object of immeasurable love is may immeasurable sentient beings, may they all experience only happiness. So let's now look at the difference between immeasurable compassion and great compassion. A while ago, when we looked at the tenets, we saw there were four different divisions of Buddhist tenets. And so the Vaibhashika, when they talk about compassion, that compassion that is present in the continuum of various levels of sentient beings, they use different terms. So the compassion that is in the continuum of a Buddha, they would call, now this gets difficult in English, but they would call great compassion, but they would use an honorific term to describe it. When it comes to the compassion that's in the continuum of a bodhisattva, they also would use the term great compassion, but they wouldn't use the honorific version of it. So in English, we don't have a difference, because we don't use honorific. But in the Tibetan, they would use a different term for the compassion that is in the continuum of a Buddha, as opposed to that in the continuum of a bodhisattva. In English, we'd call them both great compassion, but the one for the Buddha is the honorific term rather than for the bodhisattva. Then the Vaibhashikas would say that the compassion in a continuum of a hero and solitary realizer, this would be immeasurable compassion. So there is a difference. So immeasurable compassion, they would say, is what is attained by a hero and solitary realizer, whereas a bodhisattva attains great compassion.
Mm-hmm.
The other tenants, two Madhyamika divisions, Madhyamaka divisions, those of the Prasangika and the Svatantika, so there they use this the same term for great. They both say that great compassion is present in the continuum of both Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and either term, the honorific or the regular term, can be used. So they don't make any distinction over which of these terms for great compassion can be used for the compassion that is present in the continuum of a Buddha or Bodhisattva. So that's from the perspective of the Prasangika and Svatantika tenets, the two divisions of the Madhyamika tenets.
Nada nije seme sadi da jibare nije seme sa da hondu da de nada nije jamba seme da nije seme sadi keba da jamba seme sadi ne benang du pero shawa na senji ru pero shawa na benem tinga du miro san da de da zemle na le miga de yore midelia na chi ne na ta mangbo ane kanga mangbo mangshu mangbo de dunga mangbo du wa de deni mix midige cha sa dunga da tha na sambige
To try and illustrate the difference between immeasurable and immeasurable love and later great love, let's take a couple of illustrations to show what, to try and make clear what immeasurable love would be. So here the practitioner will be meditating on the suffering experienced by all the humans in the world that have an understanding of the tremendous variety of problems and difficulties that human beings are experiencing, such as war, illness, and a vast array of problems being experienced by beings in the world, and that generate the strong wish, may sentient beings be free from all such suffering and experience only happiness. So this then would be illustrations of immeasurable love and immeasurable compassion. And similarly, meditating on all the vast number of sentient of animals. So that was humans, now meditating on the vast number of animals, thinking of how many fish there are in the ocean and insects there are in the world. May they all have happiness and may they experience only happiness. So this then too would be an illustration of immeasurable love.
Jamba chimbo lao that many Janu Simba Manche, Sung Ma Yig and Chasang, that same Jan Shadi Roba, Dundro, Mi, Ha, and that Jig, Janu Simba, Chasang, same Jan Roba. Jisan, Dini, that same Jan Tam Jelab, Sung Ma Yig and Manche, Chasang, Chasang, that Dung Dewa, the Dena, same Big Dina, same Jan Tam Jelawa, the Dena, some Yodu, the Jamba Chimbo. Jamba Chimbo lao the whole, the Sung Ma Yig and same Jan Chasang, and you, same Jan Tam Jesse.
Great love wouldn't separate the sentient beings into the categories of humans, animals, and so forth, but would rather have the aspiration, may all sentient beings experience only happiness. And so here, when the concept of all sentient beings arise in the meditator's continuum, this is all non-Buddhas. So it includes bodhisattvas, it includes gods, So all sentient beings, may they experience only happiness. So just in case, from my side, I didn't say clearly in the very last segment, there we were talking about great love, that was with the concept of all sentient beings, whereas before we were talking about immeasurable love, immeasurable compassion. So now let's come to the cultivation of the four immeasurables. So we have here in the text, we can see it's in the second line, it's mentioned love, compassion, joy, and impartiality. When it comes to the training in the four immeasurables, the order is first one starts with impartiality. So that's the first immeasurable. And then in the second and the third could be love or compassion. Some texts present love as following impartiality, others present compassion. Now the first, let's look at this first one a little more, that of impartiality or immeasurable impartiality or immeasurable equanimity. Impartiality then is about removing this distinction between those that we feel closer to and those that we feel distant from. So here it's seeing all sentient beings as equal. So that, hence it's called immeasurable impartiality or immeasurable equanimity. It's removing the separation of closeness and distance. The way we emotionally relate to others tends to be infused with feelings of nearness or closeness to some and distance or separation towards others. So we generally feel very close to our loved ones, such as our parents or our partner, our children, and other relatives. And so this closeness that we feel for them is the mind of attachment. And similarly, there's another group that we feel aversion towards, we feel dislike for, we have a distance towards them. So these would be people who harm us, or maybe will harm those that that we are close to, or those who help those who harm us, and or help those who harm those that we are close to. So such beings, we have a feeling of aversion, of dislike towards them. Whereas the other group, we have this mind of attachment, of desire towards them. So here, from this basis of nearness to some and dislike or distance towards others, many non-virtues come about. So here, this first of the immeasurables is to train in impartiality or equanimity between beings, because it's through the meditation on impartiality that this nearness to some and distance to others can be removed. The reason why it's imperative to first meditate and achieve equanimity amongst the four measurables, why this is first, is because if one hasn't cultivated equanimity or impartiality, then it's not possible to cultivate true love and compassion. And this is because right now we want those that we care for, that we are close to experience only happiness. But those that we dislike, we are not particularly concerned if they experience happiness. And we don't particularly mind if they experience problems. We may even feel justified that they're getting their comeuppance. So that's why to cultivate genuine love, genuine compassion, it's imperative first to meditate on impartiality and achieve impartiality, removing this separation between some and others.
This
lack of impartiality, this closeness to some and distance from others, this pervades us in everything that we do. Take an illustration that's easy to understand, and this, as we're watching sports and we're enjoying a match, and we'll be rooting for one team to do well. So let's say it's an international match, a cricket match between India and Australia, then I will probably be wanting India to win, and you'll probably be wanting Australia to win. And so why is this? There's no valid reason beyond attachment to our own country. And moreover, we're not thinking very deeply about the situation because we have attachment to our country of this life only. We're not thinking more deeply about past life connections and the like. So this is, if we look at the situation, we can see very clearly how this mind of being close to some and distance from others is actually a very narrow mind. It's a mind that is not thinking deeply.
That's 但美利坚呢？那个对，安迪他们那身边什么样的？但美利坚我的拿货也这么真的，这拿货的点点的拿货的他们那身边的，搞完的美利坚呢？奥迪他们那身边的，什么那个这个年龄一团的，安尼过了电话用那什么的，过了的盘呢？过电话用那身边什么都吃个什么的。
And this this ridiculous way of self-identifying goes beyond just the nation of our birth. If two teams are playing a match and we are from neither country, we still are likely to support the one and against the other. And the one that we support is the one that we'll feel some kind of affinity towards. So, for example, if a person is a European and a European nation is playing against, for example, an African nation or an Asian nation, they would feel more affinity to their neighboring European nation than for a nation on the other side of the world. And therefore, they would be more likely to support their neighbor rather than the country on the other side of the world. And again, this attachment to the one and this separation from the other is coming from the same narrow mind, not looking beyond this life's experience.
Actually, I have
experience of this. A while ago, India and Pakistan were playing cricket, and a friend of mine's from Tawang, so this is the area that I'm from on the Indian-Tibetan border, and my friend was rooting for India to win, and in fact he was quite obsessed that India has to defeat Pakistan in this match, but India lost, and he became really upset about this, and for several days he didn't speak with anyone. As thinking of near and far, close to some, and distance from others. This is a very narrow mind, a mind that is just consumed with this life's affairs. So those that we are close to in this life tend to be those that help us, that benefit us in this life. So it's easy to think of our parents and our partner and other loved ones, those who bring benefit to us in this life. So we have a good connection with them, and this connection in this life, or right now, is being expressed through them helping us. But in a previous life, perhaps even the life immediately previous to this one, those same beings may have been enemies to us. They may have harmed us in previous lives. So in previous lives, you may have had a strong connection with them, but that may have been a connection not of benefit, but a connection that was expressed through harm. But in this life, we see them as friends, we see them as loved ones, we see them as beings that we want to experience happiness, or we relate to them in a way that we want them to only experience happiness. But that's just because we're looking or relating to them through this life's perspective. And likewise, those that we don't get on with in this life, those that we don't like, those that we would prefer to avoid. So we have a connection with them in this life, but it's not a connection that's not based on benefits, but rather a connection based on harm or competition or some kind of negativity. But in a previous life, maybe even our immediately preceding life, we could have had a very different relationship with them, a relationship of closeness, a relationship of benefit. So this difference that we make between beings in this life, those that we are close to, those that we feel aversion towards, is about who benefits us and who harms us. But this, in previous lives, those relationships would definitely have been interchanged, and someone who's harming us now would have helped us previously. Those who are helping us now would have harmed us previously. So therefore, this basis of differentiation is only coming about through this very narrow perspective of this one life. So as soon as we make our mind broader, more expansive, and think about our past life relationships, then this basis for differentiation is dissolved, and we come to see that there is really no difference between some and others. And if we take this line of thinking and we put it towards our future lives, we'll see that the same is true. Where we have a difficult relationship with someone now, there's no guarantee that this will always be the same. It will change. It may change in this life, but it will certainly be different in future lives. And likewise, those that we are close to now, those that we have a warm, loving feeling towards, this too is impermanent. This too will change. Maybe in this life, but certainly in future lives. So thinking like this, we come to see very clearly that we cannot differentiate those between those who are show us kindness and help and benefit us right now and those who do not. Because these relationships are unstable, they change. And the way they are right now is not like how they have been in the past or how they will be in the future. So thinking more broadly, making our mind more expansive like this, we come to see that this basis for dividing beings into those that we care about and those that we don't care about, this basis has no validity. And thinking like this, we give rise to a mind of impartiality, a mind of equanimity. Think about past and future lives like this. then we take our mind beyond this obsession with our experiences right now. And we come to see that those who that we have a close and loving and a warm relationship with now, that this is unstable and this has been different in the past and it will be different in the future. And likewise, those whom we have a negative relationship with, a relationship based on aversion and negativity, this will change. It has changed and it will change again in the future. It hasn't always been like this and it won't always be like that. So therefore, we can't actually point to someone and say, oh, this is not a good person, or this is a wonderful person, because the way that the relationships we have with others, the way people, or what is the personality characteristics in others, these all change. These are all unstable. And if we take an example of say, a politician. So if we think of a politician that we don't like, we don't like their views, we don't like their behavior, when we think of that person, we tend to think of all their faults and all the harm they do. But in reality, if we were to look very closely at their career, we will see they haven't only done harm, they haven't only taken advantage of others or only cared for their one group, they have actually sometimes done good. And certainly in the future, they will also do good in the future. They will not only create harm and cause problems. So even with someone that we may have a very strong negative view of, if we look at it more carefully, we'll see that we are not seeing the whole picture. We are limiting our understanding of this person. And if it can be with someone such as a politician, then certainly it is the case for all beings.
Sediki pamage sosol ya ni gabu cheba na sin khunju ge ke mangbo yang de le du che yo le da chakon ma de le kedin chembo chikwa re chakon ngal ya ji dinga le du are dinga le ya ga re sen cheba ka me chakon ngal ya ya ho ji ge me chi chi ya yin che de le ya ho che me ne ke wa ma mangbo ya ho che yo re da de ngo ma sin ge da nya da bu sin la so ba de su ge che de le ya sosol pan do ga yo ma de ine 这种阿曼的盲不阿列判断结约了，这种彻底判断阿心，阿看判断结约了，盲把呢，说是要判断结的，就是今年的，什么叫彻面把，什么的彻面把，恰当大概呢，这个这个样子说是判断的，嗯，因说是因判断阿心，恰当阿列真切不应把的，恰当几百亿呢，身边年龄几年没，身边什么大的，嗯，当面彻面讲不是的了，第三大的。
We've spoken now about removing this false division between those that we feel closeness towards, an affinity towards, and those that we feel an aversion, a dislike towards. Then there's a third group. If we divide sentient beings, there are those that we are close to, those that we are distant from, and then there are those that we are indifferent to. The vast mass of beings, we are indifferent towards them. So now, if we have in our meditation, we've come to see the falsity of this distinction between near and far, then we can apply that same broad mind towards this vast mass of beings that we are indifferent towards. Thinking about the vast mass of sentient beings, if we're thinking about, for example, insects, thinking about the vast number of beings living in the ocean and all the unseen beings, we get a feel for the how beings are immeasurable in number or uncountable in number. So in the same way, that we can't really point towards one being and say, oh, this is the being that I only have a good relationship with, that has only shown me kindness since beginning this time and always will in the future. And likewise, we can't point to a being and say that this being has only caused us harm and problems and difficulties and been mean to us throughout all past lives and will again in future lives. In the same way as we can't say that we have fixed relationships with anyone that we currently know, so too with all these beings who are currently unknown to us. So these, this vast mass of beings who are not playing any part in our life right now, they certainly have played a part in our lives in the past. They have shown that we've had relationship of parents and child and of loved ones in the past, and we may again have a relationship with some of them in this life that are currently beings who are unknown to us. And certainly in our future lives, we will have relationships with all of these beings again. So therefore, the division of beings that we are indifferent to, this too has a basis of no validity. In the same way that we can't point to a validity of a basis of love to some and difference of others, so too, being indifferent towards others, this too has no validity, because these very beings in past lives have been part of our lives. They have shown us kindness and care. And therefore, we too have a relationship with them, a responsibility towards them. Thinking like this then, we can come to see that in the same way that our loved ones of this life have shown us tremendous kindness, so too do the beings who are unknown to us in this life, they have shown us tremendous kindness in our past lives. So therefore there's no distinction, no valid distinction to be made between beings. We can't point to anyone and say, these are more worthy, these are less worthy. So therefore, so meditating in this way, we can come to develop a feeling of closeness towards all beings. And a closeness in the way that a parent and a child will have. So this here is the meditation on equanimity, or the meditation on impartiality. To engage in this meditation then is to use reasoning, and to use reasoning repeatedly. Because if we just hear this, as we've heard now, that this division that we make in between beings that we are close to, those that we are distant from, and those that we are indifferent to, if we hear now in class that, oh, that this is invalid, and that we should rather be close to all beings, hearing that, just accepting that, that doesn't bring about a transformation of our mind. Even if we have a correct understanding, that is not a stable realization. It is not something that brings about a change in our way of thinking, a change in our way of relating. To bring about a change in how we relate to others, we need to meditate on this again and again, and meditate through using reasons, through using our analytical mind. And use reasons like we've heard about tonight, this morning, that our relationship with others is unstable. That we may feel close to someone now, but in a previous life, that relationship would have been very different. And likewise in a future life, it will be very different. And thinking and applying this reasoning repeatedly to all the relationships that we can call to mind, as well as to those beings that we don't have a relationship currently with, Then doing this repeatedly over a sustained period, then change will come. Then our understanding will become stable because it's based on reasoning.
In
the same meditation session, when you've thought about the relationship that you have between beings, and you've removed this grasping at the relationship from the perspective of this life only, and come to see that the way that we divide beings between those that we feel a close affinity towards and those that we are averse to and those that we are indifferent towards, when you come to see that there is no valid basis for this and that rather all beings are equal, then in the same session we can take that meditation to a deeper level. And here we think about, so I tend to relate to this person or this group of people as an enemy and this person or group of people as a friend because these benefit me, these help me, these show me kindness and respect, these harm me and criticize me and blame me. So they are making me feel in this way. So where is this me, where is this I that is feeling close to some and distant from others? So in the same meditation session, then we look for this I that is being benefited and harmed. And we look amongst the physical aggregate, and we see, so if this I that appears to us has been truly existent, is it to be found in any of my limbs, any of my internal organs, in a facial expression? And we come to see that there's no particular body part that can be said to be the I. So if it's not in the body, then it has to be in the mind. So we look in the mental aggregates. So we can say, well, if we divide our mind into two, there are virtuous minds and non-virtuous minds. So is the I to be found within a virtuous mind? And if so, which one? Because then it's, that mind is always going to be manifest. And of course, we can't find such a virtuous mind that is the I, nor a non-virtuous mind. So meditating this way, we come to an understanding of mere emptiness. We come to this understanding that the I doesn't exist in the way that it appears, but it is empty of existing in that way, and it is rather a dependent arising, a mere imputation. Then we come to see that there is no I that is being harmed. There is no I that is being benefited. And therefore, there is no reason for anger to arise. There is no reason for attachment to arise. And rather, we can relate, therefore, to all beings equally. And then we can take the meditation, that same meditation, and apply it to the other person, the person we feel close to, or the person that we feel dislike for. And so if we see someone, for example, as an enemy, so where is this person that we see as an enemy? And we do the same meditation. We look in their physical aggregates, we look in their mental aggregates, and we come to see that there is no truly existent enemy. Rather, this person is also a dependent arising. This person is dependent on causes, conditions, and parts, and mere imputation by mind. So therefore, we are merely imputing by our mind enemy onto the basis of the aggregate. And coming to this understanding, we see very clearly that on the basis of all the reasons we've now applied, those of looking at how relationships change over past and future lives and within one life itself, as well as using the reasoning of emptiness, we come to see that there is no basis to be close to some, distant from others, and ignore the vast majority of beings. So this is a very powerful way to meditate on equanimity. In the month of four immeasurables, as we heard, the starting point is equanimity, removing this difference between beings. And then once we've been effective in this meditation, we can progress the meditation onto, for example, that of immeasurable love. So here the object then is measurable sentient beings, and being the meditation on love, we generate the wish that may all sentient beings experience only happiness. And so here, when we think generating this wish for may all beings experience happiness, we have no division in our mind between those that we care about more and those that we don't like. Rather, we're having the wish, may they experience only happiness.
Yeah,
The conversation started with impartiality and now has moved on to love, generating the wish that may all sentient beings, may immeasurable beings experience only happiness. So once we have now generated a strong mind of love, strong mind of one of all beings wanting immeasurable beings to experience only happiness, we then remind ourselves, so this happiness that we want all beings to experience, how is this achieved? Because just wishing for it isn't going to bring it about. And as we heard last night, happiness comes about in dependence on causes and conditions, and those causes and conditions are the accumulation of virtue. So therefore, to experience happiness through body, speech and mind, then causes of happiness, virtue, needs to be accumulated. So here then in our meditation, with this understanding, we generate the strong wish. Not may all sentient beings, may all immeasurable sentient beings experience only happiness. May they have the causes for that happiness. And then bring about the commitment, I will help them achieve these causes. I will help them accumulate the causes for happiness. In the meditations, we're thinking about may all sentient beings experience happiness. The step that comes after that is may immeasurable sentient beings have the causes for happiness, accumulate the virtue to experience happiness. And then we give rise to the strong wish that I will help them. I will help them achieve these causes of happiness. So it's important we come to the stage in our meditation and we don't just go as far as may all beings experience happiness, because we're trying to bring about a power to our virtuous mind, a strength to this mind. And to do that, we need to continue with the meditation to the point where we give rise to the wish of may I help others, may I bring about, may I be of benefit to others, because this is a far more powerful mind than a mind merely wishing others to be happy. This is a mind of engagement, a much more powerful mind. And now in the meditation, having given rise to the wish to want to be of benefit to others through helping them achieve the causes for happiness, then we will also think, but how am I going to do this? I'm very limited in my skill and my ability. So here we'll then give rise to the clear understanding that I know that to achieve happiness, one needs to accumulate the causes for happiness, and together with this, turn away from accumulating the causes for suffering. To know how to do this, I need to be knowledgeable and I need to be experienced. Therefore, I need to study, I need to meditate, and I need to engage in beneficial activities so that I can have the knowledge and the skill to be of benefit to others. And the knowledge and the more knowledge, the more skill that I have, the greater benefit I can be to others. My advice will be more appropriate and more skillful for that individual being. So the more I engage in study and meditation, the more I will be able to be of benefit to others. So this way of thinking then leads us to want to engage in Dharma activities and want us and leads us to generate the strong wish to progress to the attainment of full and complete enlightenment so that we can be of greatest benefit to others. So if you think of an example within our own lives, have been many times when we've met someone who is experiencing tremendous problems and difficulties, and so compassion arises within us. We want to help them. We want to help free them from these problems. So then we try and help them, and we help them to the best of our ability, and maybe we can help them sufficiently and eliminate those problems. But often their problems are beyond our ability to solve. So maybe then we will go to someone else who has the required resources or skill or knowledge and is able to help that person. Now hopefully we have those connections where we can then through someone else help this person who's experiencing difficulty. So therefore, similar to this, meditating here on the Four Immeasurables, we generate the wish to be of help and be of benefit to others. And where we can, we engage and try to benefit others. But often, our skill is limited. And when we encounter these situations where of our skill being too limited to help alleviate others from problems and difficulties, this then we should take as encouragement to continue with our own spiritual development, to continue to study and gain knowledge, and to meditate and incorporate that knowledge within ourselves. So this then would be likened to going to someone else with more power and ability to help this person. We try and develop ourselves to become that person with more skill, more power, more ability, and thereby can help people in a greater way. And of course, we continue with it. We generate the aspiration to become the most skilled guide, the guide who knows exactly what needs others have and has the skill to fulfill those needs, to the Buddha themselves. So in this way, we use these encounters as motivation to develop our own skill and ability within ourselves.
तो देवा देने पाला दुआ जो है दुआ द मारने देवा ध्यान या मारवा दे दुआ में बस हो जैसे दुआ दे में बच्चा सुन देवा राशू दे हो जिन्हें इंसान दस समझे तम जो सेम समझे सेम में बाद आते देवा को वादा समझे सेम में बाल दुआ दुआ दे ढाको तो सिबे समझे सेम में बाद दुआ दे ढाना सिबे समलो
Moving on to immeasurable compassion. So this will follow from the meditation on love, through thinking that may all sentient beings have happiness. Well, for them to experience happiness, they of course have to be be separated from experiences of suffering, because if a being is suffering, a being is not happy. So this is the link between happiness and compassion, or sorry, love and compassion. So here the meditation is generating the thoughts: may immeasurable beings be free from suffering. May immeasurable beings accumulate the causes and conditions required so as to separate themselves from suffering.
Having
given rise now to the wish, may all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. Then we remind ourselves of what the actual causes of suffering are, and these are the afflicted minds. And amongst the afflicted minds, because it's through the afflicted minds that suffering is, the causes of suffering is accumulated. And what is the root of all these afflicted minds? This is the ignorance of self-grasping. If this is eliminated, then all the resulting afflicted minds and all the contaminated karma that is accumulated through these afflicted minds, that will be stopped. So therefore, the very root of all suffering needs to be eliminated, and that root is this ignorance of self-grasping. So here we generate the strong wish: may the cause that leads to all suffering, may that be eliminated in the continuum of immeasurable sentient beings. And this is the meditation on immeasurable compassion.
I don't want to turn us and be some of you, the Duma Dana, Sambia, some of you, the Duma Dana, the Jigin, Masamba, I don't want to turn us and be Ninja, Jewin, on the Robert Matibas, or Jidrosa, Yura, Ben, Mijim, Duava, Sim Jiki, Bakana, Chuna, Tudivin, Adadi, Tiletau, Duma Dana, Sambia, some of you, Ninja, Sambia, some Daja, Lago Masaje, Nazi, Lehad, Nazi, Sam Jidrosa, Jigun, that Kashi, and all that. 다디 누가 타고 배 다디 미마진데 배 타사 말에 삼지 강수는 소소라 좋아지 마게 틀다 이거로 이제 찌디기 니가라 그 누가 다나 삼배 삼로 배 찌버래지 찌디기 내 지긴 삼고 마 찌디 다 내 지긴 삼고 내 지긴 삼만디기 강수 마르 라른데 거래 다 내 지긴 마삼 발 누가 다나 삼비게 문제 삼지 나라 내가 요선 좋아지 거라지 뭐 라른데 거 말아 안비 디나시 다 아니 디셉슈리 고레 제데 디네가 냠는 제 섬슈 찔레 냠는 슈크쳐제도 소소라 타바 삼지 김이 고바 토두 고레 제다 신행이 된다 삼다 삼지 고바 토바치 세디르 와
When we've been reflecting here that on the need for immeasurable sentient beings to abandon their afflicted minds, in particular the root cause that of the ignorance of self-grasping, it's imperative here that we give rise to this wish that of I will do this, I will help all sentient beings eliminate this ignorance of self-grasping. And we need to give rise to this mind in a strong and powerful way. And the reason for that is if that mind is strong, our compassion will be strong, and moreover, our wish to be of benefit, to engage with others, this will be powerful and lead us to wanting to progress and to actually progressing on the spiritual path and being of greater benefit to others. Because, for example, if we're walking to work and we see someone drowning in a river, and then for all of us, of course, compassion will arise and we'll think, may they be freed of this dangerous situation, may they get out the water and not drown. But if we leave it at that, and off we go to work, that's of no benefit to anyone. So in the same way that in such a situation, we need to do something, either get in the river ourselves or call help. Likewise, in our meditations on love and compassion, we need to take them to the point where we make the commitment to help others, to be of benefit to others. And the reason for that is our minds of love and compassion are then so much more powerful. And this doesn't only lead to far more virtue being accumulated, but it leads us to engaging with others in a different way.
Then
the first of the immeasurables is that of joy. So here we generate a mind that generates a joyful mind by wishing, may all sentient beings experience only happiness, and may they never be separated from the experience of happiness.
Yagi dhaya ma gili 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 g 제가 시행해야 되는 소수의 니기 영화 차단을 시행해야 되는 거고 제가 시행해야 될 뺀맛이 예 제목 같은 제목 시골에서 선비의 삶을 슈팅을 해도 아니 시행해야 되기고 두려워나 시행 동화다 자해가 삶을지 슈팅을 해도 그래 제가 시행 니기 약고 영화나 시행 동화다 자나 소소를 약고 용고래서 와 용고로 제가 소소를 니기 영화다 시행 시행해야 되는 시행해야 될 뺀맛이 다 제목 예 제목 시골에서 삶을 And the nigger come to the Shukchimbolid, Shanja, Jambada, there were easy to Shukchimbol. Here I want to present Jalal Mason, oh, the Yahshuri, some Jalal Yahshura, some of the Sunkip Jalia, some of the Shukchiridua, Dahoja, and Yad. Jalal did not see the Bejishara, Mason Sashim, Shiramazin, or Dahoshara, Maja Shasha, or Dinna, Dinna, she said, for Shansa, the Kazi, Tita, Chet, and so sort of Jin Chet, some Kazi, Shukchet, down to in there. Jalaya, Jamba, and Tawa, Nijiki, Lela, and Jalaya getting Chimbo, the Jinchibo, Shadagi, Shukchimbo, Tamaduana, Dele, Jamba, and Tawa, the Yonah, the Shukchumarus. Evangele, Jamba, and Tawa, Niji Kawasi, Shukchimbo, Yomayati, Tho Shan, the Jinchimbo, the Shank, getting Chimbo, some look at the Jumchin, some look at the Mah, down to be near Jamba, and Tawa, Niji, the Shukchimbo.
The reason for engaging in the meditation on the four immeasurables is we need to the reason that we need to meditate on the four immeasurables is due to the kindness that all beings have shown us since beginning this time. And this is something that without reflecting deeply we can have some awareness of, but we need to reflect on it much more deeply to come to understand how this relates to all beings all beings without exception. So in the same way as when we meditated before on impartiality, we need to come to see that it's always through others that everything that we have, that we value, that we appreciate, comes about due to the kindness of others. If we were completely on our own, our experience would be very different. We would have no companionship, we'd have no friends, we would have no clothing, no food, our home wouldn't be built, and we'd have no knowledge. We would not know anything. And this, of course, is because we require a teacher so as to have knowledge. We require information from others so as to come to understand the world. We require farmers and all those involved in food production to have food, etc. So therefore, we need to reflect on the kindness of others, and through reflecting on the kindness of others, we will give rise to a strong wish to repay that kindness, a strong wish for others to be free from all forms of suffering, and a strong wish for others to experience only happiness. So this is why we need to meditate on the four immeasurables. So to understand this, we can maybe use an analogy of if it's something that we strongly desire, an object that we strongly desire. The reason we desire it is because of the various qualities that we will associate with this object. We will see it as valuable because of its various benefits or use that we associate with this object. And then receiving it, we will take great care of it and make sure that it's safeguarded. Whereas something else that we don't really value, that we don't see as particularly precious or special, we will, if we have it or don't have it, we won't really care. We won't think about it very much. So in the same way as we impute great value onto something and therefore take care of it, if we think a lot about the value of sentient beings and the benefits of this relationship that we have with sentient beings, then we'll want to repay that kindness, we'll want to take care of sentient beings and ensure that their needs are also fulfilled. So the more that we think about these four immeasurables and the kindness of others, the stronger our minds of love and the stronger our minds of compassion will be.
That same time, you know, Sanjo of October Chi, Sebe Janju Sendi, Gila, Lela, Janju Sendi, Niki, Janju Sim Gil, Gombal, Tene, Tarana, Sanjo of October, Ezile. 고방 토그레스 다 계지 다 잠바 쯤에 다 니지 쯤에 쯤에 시 곰제 세델에 자주 산지 고방 토마토 바이네 네 제가 치마 안 장비직 되세도 나 하다미 대화 네 고방 토제 디기 잠바 좀 그레스 장비직 되는 대화 토바 주르스
And the last two lines of this verse, and should you not attain the higher state, at least you will find bliss in Brahma's world. So for meditating on the four immeasurables, these are a cause to give rise to the mind, or a technique to give rise to the mind of bodhicitta. And giving rise to the mind of bodhicitta, one becomes a bodhisattva, and thereby is progressing rapidly towards the attainment of enlightenment. So therefore, for this reason, we should engage in a meditation on the four immeasurables, because these are a technique for the achievement of bodhicitta. However, if through our meditation, if we don't achieve enlightenment in this life, nevertheless, we can be sure of a good rebirth in the future, and in our future life. So, for example, attaining rebirth as a human or as a god, and here the text says explicitly, achieve the bliss of Brahma's world. So in other words, attain a good rebirth in a future life. So all of us have accumulated innumerable causes to be reborn in the lower realms. However, through meditating on the four immeasurables and giving rise to the resultant mind of bodhicitta, then one is very unlikely to take rebirth in the lower realms, and even if one does, through the power of these previously accumulated negative imprints, it will be like a ball falling down and immediately bouncing back up. In other words, because of the power of our mind of bodhicitta, even if we have a particularly powerful negative karmic imprint on our continuum, the rebirth that we will take in the lower realms due to that negative imprint, that rebirth will be incredibly brief, and then we will immediately be reborn in the happy migrations. And in fact, His Holiness, he often gives advice that to accumulate virtue and increase the strength of our virtue, we need to meditate on bodhicitta. Equally, to purify our store of negativity, we need to meditate on bodhicitta. So therefore, His Holiness is always encouraging His students to meditate on bodhicitta. Just a sec. Okay, the computer's a bit frozen, but anyway. There we go. So again, I just read these last two lines again, which referring here to with the virtue that we accumulate, even if we through achieving bodhicitta, even if we don't attain Buddhahood now, we will definitely attain a good rebirth. And then this brings us then to the next verse, verse 41. The four samadhis, which in turn discard pursuit of pleasure, joy, and happiness and pain, will lead to fortune equal to the gods in Brahma, light, great virtue, or great fruit. In terms of the three realms of samsara, so we're in the desire realm, and we're in the desire realm. But then the next realm is the form realm, and the form realm has four levels. Those being the four levels, of which each is progressively better than the previous one. So it's called the form realm because the beings there have form, and they can engage in, they can be seen by others and engage in conversation with others. So of the three realms, the desire realm, then there's the form realm with its four divisions, and then there's the formless realm also with four divisions. So the beings in the formless realm don't have form, so therefore they can't see each other, they can't engage in conversation with each other.
So
when engaging in abandoning the afflicted minds, there are two ways that this can be done. So there's one that is an actual path, and that is where one is actually abandoning the afflicted minds. And there is a second way where the afflicted minds are not actually abandoned, but they're just suppressed. So that is what is being referred to here. So not the actual path of the Buddhist technique where the afflictions are being abandoned, but rather the the worldly technique or the mundane technique where the afflictions are not being abandoned but suppressed. And that is what's being referred to here.
So to
illustrate these two different techniques, so when we talk about overcoming or abandoning the mind of attachment, then we would have heard the general technique of the Buddhist presentation, which leads to the accumulation of a path. Another technique would be if there's some food here and someone criticizes this food and points out all the faults in it and why it's a meal that's best not eaten, then those of us listening to that, we won't give rise to any attachments for this food because it's going to sound disgusting and unhealthy and will only lead to problems. So that criticizing of this object of attachment would lead to the abandonment of attachment or for that object. But of course, attachment itself is not abandoned, just suppressed in that moment. So this is a worldly technique, an ordinary technique to overcome an afflicted mind. So that is what's being spoken about here. So here a practitioner first achieves calm abiding, so they've achieved calm abiding, but now having achieved calm abiding, they're looking at all the faults of the desire realm, and they see that their lives are very short and that there are so many problems and difficulties. And now they look at what is called here the four samadhis. So they look at these four samadhis and they see the benefits of those. So they have this mind of so the samadhi in English would be concentration, so I'll rather use that. So they have the mind of calm abiding, and superior to this is the concentrated mind, the single-pointed concentrated mind, that is called the first concentration. So the practitioner then looks at the benefits of achieving that first concentration and sees the faults of staying mentally with just this mind of calm abiding. So this then gives rise to their wish to achieve the mind of the first concentration. And then they will strive to achieve the clairvoyance of the mind of the first concentration, which is beyond the current clairvoyance and mind of calm abiding that they now have. And then when they achieve this mind of the first concentration, then the afflictions associated with the lower level of those of the desire realm, then these are all suppressed. So this mind of the first concentration is the mind of the the form realm. And so here to achieve that, then the qualities of this mind are sought, and the faults of the current level that the practitioner is at, these are seen, and then they strive to achieve the higher mind. So the practitioner, then just we'll try now translate it more clearly. The practitioner who has now achieved calm abiding, they now have this mind of calm abiding, but they look to the form realm, and they see the great benefits that come from attaining the first concentration of the form realm, and they see the faults of remaining with just this mere mind of calm abiding of the desire realm, and they then engage in the training required to attain rebirth in the next life in the first concentration of the form realm. And then if the training is successful, they will achieve this, and then they're born into the first concentration of the form realm, and then the afflictions associated with the lower level, with the desire realm, these are all suppressed. They're not abandoned, they're suppressed. Then they would continue their practice by now striving, seeing the benefits of seeing the next level of the form realm, of the second level, the second concentration, or the second samadhi. So seeing the benefits of that, and seeing the faults of where they are now, they then strive to achieve the clairvoyance of the second concentration, or to be reborn into the second concentration in the next life. And then the same with the third and the fourth level, always looking at the benefits of the higher level and the faults of their current level. And when they are born into this next level, they then suppress all the afflictions associated with the lower level.
Hey,
So amongst these various stages, it's only the first one that is very difficult to achieve, that of calm abiding. Once this has been attained, these four concentrations can be achieved quite easily. So for example, if a Tibetan refugee in India is really having a hard time, people are criticizing him, and he's seeing living in India, he has no hope, he has no future. But he hears Australia is a wonderful country, and then he puts his plan, he makes a plan, and he comes to Australia. Then all those problems of associated living in India are gone. So such that can be similar then to this achieving this first level of calm abiding, which is quite difficult. But then once that's achieved, all the associated afflictive minds of the lower levels are abandoned, and then those next concentration, not abandoned, sorry, suppressed, and the next levels then are the various concentrations can be achieved easily. And then today we've looked at the four immeasurables, and we spoke about the order that they need to be meditated on, where it's imperative to start with meditating on impartiality. Because if impartiality is not achieved, then love and compassion cannot be achieved. And here we need to really reflect on the kindness of others, the relationship we have with others, and do so in a broad and an expansive way. And then lead the meditation through to the point where we generate the wish to actively repay the kindness of others, to be of benefit to others. And we also heard today of the need to include the meditation on emptiness within our meditation on impartiality. So when you're meditating on impartiality, we think about the unreliability of the relationships we have with others. Those that we are at one time close with, we will not always be close with them, or we haven't always been close to them. And the same with those that we don't get on with. But then we need to take our meditation further and bring in our understanding of emptiness, thinking about the I that feels close to some and distant from others, and then also using our understanding of emptiness to come to look for the truly existent loved one, the truly existent enemy. And in this way, we can the meditation can have a profound effect on our mind. And as always, these meditations need to be done with a powerful, virtuous motivation, repeatedly over a sustained period. And in our meditation, we need to recall this throughout the day so that we keep these virtuous minds present, and thereby we can fulfill this commitment that we make, that whatever we do, whomever we meet, we will only benefit them. We will not harm others. In this way, we can lead a meaningful life. So then we'll stop here for this morning, and this afternoon we'll start with the next verse, which then moves on to how to accumulate virtue and how to purify negativities. So there are some questions. Andy.
This is probably just not being a word problem, but you're calling these minds four immeasurables. I don't know whether this could measure what equanimity is the mind initially covers to be free from partiality.
Immeasurable equanimity is may others be free from impartiality. Okay, so I'll just check if that is the understanding.
It's very much about
abandoning our own mind of closeness to some and distance from others. And then being ourselves being equanimous towards all beings, being impartial towards all beings. Okay. Come on.
In the past, I've done group training in Karma Guiding with regular training sessions in a group, which I found effective. When I try to do it myself, I find it hard. Does it make sense for us to do regular Karma Guiding training?
In the past, when I've done karma abiding training in a group, I found this effective. When I try to do it on my own, it's much more difficult. So therefore, would it be a good idea if we were to do karma abiding training here in a group?
Regularly.
So, Chine Chigu Duna, Danyam Duna, Yagadu, Garcina Chikor, Chigu Duna, Rigor, Yam Duna, Rigor, Sosuke, Chike, Parche, Nuhin, the Karasam Tan, Dirua, Tunje Yaga Karim.
So, yes, it's good to do together in a group, but I'm not saying that one should do in a group or shouldn't do in a group. Then you need to see for yourselves. How you can get together the good conditions, and whether that means doing it in a group or doing it individually, then this is up for individuals or the group to decide.
Okay. So So if we discuss it before with others and see if they want to do group.
Mi sempre da nam di kolam rete ne kese sena, te ne konsu tsoko se yuki jopi yame, kese se ye te yana, chogi duke.
Di kyo rao se samda yuwa, di shi
So, yes, if you want to do that, that's fine. But I think what Kendra is saying is from his side, he's not going to say you should do it or you shouldn't do it. This is really for you guys to decide amongst yourselves. Okay.
Your discussion on the form and formless absorption, the effects of method of absorption, are we obligated to develop those within our own continuum in order to achieve enlightenment? Or are they just like a sidearm that we could get lost? Or do we actually develop those form and formless absorptions as we progress?
So to attain enlightenment, do we need to attain the form and formless absorptions, the concentrations of the form and formless realms. Dini na to sang ge ki chidu na to something si dang kari di sukme si de something de na to yin si min su chukka repe
ne chukka mar
chukka mar
sukme la sukme ba di ge le ko jayu senpa pakwa di ge jewa lingyo ma le gansu na jayu senpa pakwa la rangwa yorwa 제가 숨매래 현진 집이네 말에 취해서요 말에 아주 고야면 봐 제가 계속을 상기다 저기 좀 파과 뒤에 비교 말에 내가 저기 다 상기 주의기 네 된 약속이 안 돼서 물이 미리 있어 제가 대화 전기 하디기네 전문을 제가 쉬어 숨어라 제가 나 만주기 가서 전문인데 에 나게 냠는 지야다 도게 냠는 지야다 약속이 되래서
그래서
약속이 되래서 제가 이제 미드 수라다 수다 숨에 고구마다 바디 두야라 하바도 수라 용구레데 딜레 마저 데비기 점을이 야인소
그래서 이제 아주 더컴 데피 카플라 가서 숙캄기 something denso tuk kirebe deka deka de tukna sub tempo dan pendo tempo yerebe yamana de ne de yana yapuduga
ye de yapuinde de 신의 주변에 원시의 주변에 되는 삼대 집에 있으면 좋고 삼대 집에 있으면 좋지 제원에 남 냠네 제래 야래야
그래서
이제 이제 개월 연이 랭고 말해 그 연대에 가서 대해 되지 연이 연대 랭초 거래
so the best basis for benefiting others and attaining Buddhahood is the basis of a human or a god so this is the best basis and the problem with attaining a rebirth in the formless realm is that one has no form, therefore one cannot benefit others, one can't hear teachings and the like. So other bodhisattvas who have control over their rebirth do not take rebirth in the formless realm. So the best is to be reborn as a basis of a human as a human or a god. But that being said, the concentrations of the form realm, these then are very powerful minds, and amongst them, the best is the fourth concentration. So that being attained is a very powerful mind for developing qualities of the Buddha Dharma. Okay, good. Well, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Sajid,